punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Hump day already. It's Wednesday. Man, it feels like Tuesday to me. Anyway, check out some temperatures in the western part of Oklahoma and up in the Panhandle. 40 at Beaver, 39 at Slap Out, 37 at the May Ranch, 38 at Cherokee, 37 at Lahoma. Cheyenne, 41 degrees. 43 degrees at Eric, 45 at Hollis, 45 at Hobart. Out here in the Panhandle of Texas, 42 at Lipscomb, 42 at Miami, 45 at Dozer, 45 at Odell, 45 at Wellington. Anyway, Gary McMahon has come out, our state climatologist and director of the Oklahoma Mesonet. He came out with some rainfall total amounts, and I'm going to help you guys out and show you what's going on in Oklahoma this week, this year, compared to last year, or not actually last year, but our average. So let's start with Hollis, Oklahoma. Hollis, Oklahoma's average normal rainfall between 1991 and the year 2020 is 25.4 inches. This year, 19.65 inches. Mangum, 27 inches is normal. This year, 26.85. Not too far off, and I think Altus is about an inch off. Then we get up to Eric, and normal rainfall is 25.2 inches. This year, 21.52 inches. All right. Well, it just southwestern Oklahoma, don't get me wrong, they got some good rains down there, but it's still pretty much below normal, anywhere from, like Hollis is 5 inches behind what normal is. But, you know, they did get some rain. So we get up to Cheyenne. Cheyenne is 25 inches is normal, but this year 31.57 inches of rain. Butler, 26.6 is normal, 36.82 inches, 10 inches more than normal. So I'm guessing, unless all your rains came like they did down in Beckham County and Greer and Kiowa, slow, not a really a whole lot of runoff, you guys got your ponds filled around Butler, if I'm guessing right. And in that area, Dewey County, Custer County, Blaine County, well above normal. And then you get up to Arnett, which is 23.6 inches of rain, normal. This year, they're at 28.68 inches. And I've been up pack saddle hunting 2-3 times already. And you can tell they got some pretty timely rains, the grass and stuff. Unless it's overstocked or something, is in pretty good shape in that area. And so anyway, that's good for them. Woodward is 10 inches above normal. They've this year 34.35 inches of rain. And then my little screen went away. Get on up further north to Buffalo. Buffalo's normal range is 22.3 inches. This year, 27.9 inches. Slap Out, 30.38 inches this year, normal, 21.6. And even out further out in the Panhandle, out there about as far west as you can get, out there around Boise and in that area there, normal is 16 and 17 inches. Actually, Boise City's right on at normal, but the rest of the Panhandle in there is 5 to 10 inches above normal. So, anyway, just comparison notes about how much rainfall we've got this year so far and what it compares to normal wise. So I was looking at that map that he came out with on Facebook, and you can go to the Mesonet and check it out. And anyway, but I'm looking at the 1991 to 2020 normal rainfall, and you know how, especially us farmers and ranchers out here west of Clinton, always say once you get to Clinton or Weatherford in that area and back towards Hydro, it's just like a different world farming wise. And you know, it really is, because normally between Clinton, Weatherford, Hydro, and in that area, they're receiving 7 to 8 more inches of rain than we normally do out in the far western counties, Beckham, Roger Mills, Harmon, Greer, Ellis County. You know, 7 to 10 inches of rain makes a lot of difference. But what's crazy is far eastern Oklahoma this year, I'm just going to give you one example and we'll move on, but I think that's Hugo down there in southeastern Oklahoma. It's 53.7 inches is normal. This year they've got 66 inches of rain. So that's what, 13, a little over a foot more rain than normal. So they shouldn't be hurting too bad out there. But man, that country in eastern Oklahoma dries out pretty quick. Once that moisture's gone, that hard dirt over there, clay dirt over there, dries out pretty quick. But anyway, they get it. But that's just, you know, there's a reason why when you get into far eastern Custer County and on towards the city, why that seems like a different world, because they average 6 to 8 inches a year more rain than we do out here in western Oklahoma. All right, let's take a look at commodity markets right now. There's not a lot going on this week. A lot of people on vacation, a lot of reports ain't coming out. All the sale barns are basically closed, but just kind of boring in the ag world, really. But anyway, corn for March, 475, down a little over 4. May's 487, same thing, down 46. Just updated, July's 497, down 4.4 also. And soybeans for January, 13.11, down a little over 2. March is 13.16, down 3. May is 13.25, down 3. Soybean meal, January, $397.70 a short ton, down $5.50. March is $392.40, down $3.50. May, $390.40, down $2.30. Soybean oil is back up today. It's been going down steadily. January is 48.14 cents a pound, down 0.23 cents. March is 48.74, down 23, up 23. Both of those are up 23. The color, sometimes I'm colorblind looking at the screen from as far off as I read it. May is 49.15, up 17. Hard red winter wheat, after coming up yesterday, is down today. It's not taking a tank, as Jimmy Boyette would say. March is 633, down 9. May is 636, down a little over 9, too. Down 92 to be exact, 9.2. Anyway, cotton is up a little bit today. March is 80.37, up 32. May 81.37, up 40. July is 82.01, up 41. Oil, what's oil doing today? Crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, February 74.45, down $1.12. March 74.65, down 106. Natural gas is up a little bit today. January 267, up 0.12. February 250, up 8. And then March is 234, up 8 also. All right, let's check out some of the live cattle. Live cattle is in the red today, but the feeder cattle are in the positive side. December 170.45, down 12. February 169.10, down $1.30. April 172.70, down 75. Feeder cattle for January 224.12, up 57 cents. March is 225.22, up 65. And April's 230.60, up 52. It's good to see those futures down the road, April, May, and everything back in the 230 range. It's coming back up a little bit compared to what it was about 2 or 3 months ago. I think they were in the 248. I seen the 248 in there, seems like a couple months ago. I don't know. I'm getting old and my memory's short. But anyway, the feeder cattle futures are starting to make a positive change pretty good. February lean hogs are up at 69.65, up 35. April's down 27 at 75.80. May is also down 32 at 82.47. What a day is Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic. Happy hour, all hour. And I got, where's that at? There it is. So anyway, this is a note from Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic. We would like to take this time in the joyous season to thank all of our clients, customers, and friends for trusting us with your animals and pets for their veterinarian care. Wishing you and them a very Merry Christmas and a safe, healthy, and prosperous new year. We greatly appreciate each of you and your business. We are looking forward to another great year coming up here this weekend. All right, let's take a Stockman's Vet break, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup, four different size dumpsters, there's no contracts or hidden fees, and they have affordable rates. Your satisfaction is always top priority at D&G Trash Hauling. For more information, give them a call at 580-497-1234. That's 580-497-1234. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash. At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120 plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The pasture range and forage rainfall insurance program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is far more than just a cattle show. See for yourself December 30th through January 11th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sales of elite genetics, something for every operation. And stop by on January 4th or 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale information, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, currently here, our Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center is saying 41 degrees, 62% humidity, and the winds are out of the north at 8.5 miles an hour here, but we're protected by all the big metropolitan buildings around our studio here, so the wind's a little breezier outside the city limits here. Lipscomb, Texas, 41 degrees, wind chill is at 30, humidity 65, dew points 30, the winds are out of the north at 24 miles an hour, gust up to 31 currently right now, peak wind gust today so far 33 miles an hour. Month to date precipitation 3.72 inches of rain, red flag minutes 0, sub-freezing minutes today 284 minutes, 8-inch soil temperature 40 degrees. And that is your ag weather update for out in the Texas Panhandle. And I got to delete that and we'll go on to this. All right, let's see here. Let me find it. All right, Dr. Peel come out with a deal in beef daily coming up, and feedlot placements finally below year ago levels. Tighter supplies will mean even higher prices in the new year, according to Dr. Peel. The U.S. feedlot inventory totaled 12 million head on December 1st, a rise from December 1st of 2022, Cattle on Feed report. Oklahoma State University Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist Dr. Darrell Peel noted that Texas 2.91 million head and Kansas 2.5 million head were up the most, with Texas up 4% and Kansas inventories up 7% year over year. Nebraska at 2.58 million head and Colorado at 1.03 million head were down 1% compared to 1 year ago. Peel said the top four states represent 75.1% of the December 1st feedlot inventories. Meanwhile, feedlot inventories in Iowa, which is the fifth largest feedlot state, is up 2% at 640,000 head. Considering what producers have been dealing with the past year, a 2% year-over-year decline in feedlot placements in this month's report was not unexpected, according to USDA livestock analyst Shaley Shagum. However you say that, we'll just go with SS. Placements during November total 1.87 million head. Net placements were 1.81 million head. During November, placements were 535,000 head for cattle and calves weighing less than 600 pounds. 440,000 head for 600 to 699 pound calves. 380,000 head for 700 to 799. 288,000, that is, for 800 to 899, 140,000 head for 900 to 999 pounds, and 85,000 head for 1,000 pounds or greater. Dry conditions, poor wheat pasture, tight water supplies likely pushed a lot of cattle in early or earlier than normal would have occurred. As you sort out and move forward, the supplies that are available for placement later decline. Dr. Peel said the overall placement total was a little larger than average expectations at the top end of the pre-report estimates. He also said although feedlot inventories are 2.7% larger than 1 year ago, total feedlot placements in the last 6 months, which account for 96.2% of December feedlot inventory, show it was down 0.3% from the same June-November period last year. This means the larger feedlot inventory now is due to slower feedlot turnover rate and not because of increased total feedlot production. Get that? Understood that? Marketings of fed cattle during November total 1.75 million head. That's 7% below last year. As for the markets, Peel said feeder and feed fed cattle prices increases week before Christmas. The five market cash fed price on December 22nd was $170.50 per hundredweight, up roughly $2 from the previous week, and looks like it's up again this week. On a weekly basis, fed cattle prices have averaged 22% above year earlier levels in 2023. Last but not least here, during the final week of sales in 23, feeder cattle prices were sharply higher in Oklahoma auctions. The price of 475-pound medium to large number one steer was $317.52 a hundredweight. That's up 44% from 1 year ago. These, Peel reported, have averaged 37% higher year-over-year across all weeks of this year. The price of a 775-pound steer was $225.87. That's up 28% year-over-year. The big feeder cattle have averaged 31% higher year-over-year on a weekly basis in 2023, Dr. Peel added. Looking ahead, in 2024, tighter supplies will eventually mean even higher prices in the new year. How about that? That's a little bit of good news. It's got to. I mean, I think the boys are finally quit playing with the future, so everything should kind of level out and start gaining time before we know it. I haven't done this in a few weeks, and since the sale barns are closed this week, and probably most of next week, I'm going to give you the Texas Weekly Cattle Auction Summary from last week. Total receipts in Texas, 1,218 head. That's all that sold in that big old state down there. Last report, it was 2,619 head. Feeder cattle was 90% of it. Slaughter cattle was 4.4% of it. And this is a fairly good number. 5.1% of it was replacement cattle. That's quite a bit of change in the last that I've seen all year. That's the biggest percentage. Special note, there won't be no report coming up this weekend, so our next report like this will be on January 5th. Compared to last week, not enough comparable sales for a market trend. Some sales closed this week for the holidays, and others had light receipts to close out the year. Just a few prices on some of the steers. Let's go with the 4 to 5 weights. It looks like they were bringing anywhere from 315 to 330. It was 319.72 on the average. The 5 to 6 weights was anywhere from 240 to 285. 282.18 was the average weight on the lighter 500 weights. 6 to 7 weights, 239 average. 7 weights, 220 was the high end average. And 8 weights, 215 average. And like I said, not much to go off of them with 1,200 head. So on the heifer side, they look pretty good. Some 4 to 5 weights were bringing up to 261. Some there was some in there at 271 and more fancy, and then some fleshy 614 weights brought 221. Some unweaned 631 pounders brought 208, and some 800 pounds 851, 180. So there you go. That's all we got to go on. All right, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break. We'll come back. I got some more stuff from you from Oklahoma sales, and then they've already updated the peanut outlook, so I'll have Tyrone Spearman on here to give you guys an update on that. So anyway, peanuts, they're updating them every week now, which is good. We need all those reports. Also, before I go into break, I want to ask you guys a question. Text line is wide open, 580-225-9697. What would you guys, and I'll ask this question every day this week, starting today, what would you guys like to hear more of on the Today in Ag show? Do you want me to change it up a little bit? Is there something I'm missing? I'll tell you what I'm working on right now. I'm working on getting with the Noble Foundation and the Oklahoma Forestry Department and get an individual with the pecan grove. We want to talk about pecans a few times coming up. And we talked about Christmas trees already. You know, obviously we already talked about the norms, the cotton, wheat, corn, peanuts, whole night alfalfa. We talk about all those, and I'm going to talk put aside one day a week, I'm hoping, to talk about gardening, and because that's part of it. So anyway, but if there's something you want to hear more of or less of or whatever, all you got to do is 225-9697. Text me and tell me what you want to hear more of or less of. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 15th. 898 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 310 brought 300. 4 at 471 brought 255. 7 at 588 brought 237. 12 at 597 brought 231.30. 3 at 628 brought 236. 11 at 639 brought 206. 4 at 664 brought 221. 4 head of heifers at 454 brought 238. 9 at 481 brought 230. 3 at 579. 9 brought 215, 12 at 663 brought 233, 5 at 664 brought 210, 4 at 696 brought 193, butcher cows were 40 to 116, butcher bulls brought 22 to 120, bred cows were 850 to 2650, paired brought 1500 to 2600, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City Elk Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. That's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back. Here is your Northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update for Lahoma, Oklahoma. Currently it's 38, feels like 29. Dew point's 23, humidity's 54. Winds are out of the northwest, 15, wind gust up to 21. 10-day rain total, 1.32 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil, temperatures 45. Fractional water, 1.0. Sunset at 5:24. Today, mostly sunny, 41, northwest winds. Tonight, 25 for a low, light winds out of the north. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, northwest winds, 8 to 10 miles an hour and 41 degrees. All right, so I've already got one less of. It says, whoever, the person says less weather. Here's my deal. Weather is one of the most popular things requested by the listeners. And here's my other deal, is I have a big area from southern Kansas all the way across the Red River, south of Altus, all the way out into like Wellington, McLean, Canadian, Lipscomb. I got a big diverse area of weather to give out. So I have to pick a different area for every segment because people in Fairview don't want to hear about the weather in Elk City, and people in Elk City don't want to hear about the weather in Odell, Texas, or Altus. So I got to diverse it up. So I'll just do it quicker if that'll help. Anyway, that's the most number one requested deal is weather. You know how farmers are. They want to know what's the weather doing, even though they can look on their iPhone and tell it. But I'm going to tell it to them. How's that? All right, let's move on. Oklahoma, I got some reports from cattle from last week. 16,784 head was the total receipts last week compared to 35,303 last year. Feeder cattle took up 91% of that. Slaughter cattle, 6.9% of it. And this is a lot different than Texas. 1.8% was replacement cattle. Compared to last week, feeder steers were $2 to $5 higher. Feeder heifers lightly tested and steady to $4 higher. Steer calves $4 to $12 higher. Heifer calves $1 to $5 higher. Demand good for all classes, large spreads, including between steer calves and heifer calves with a 50 to 65% cent per pound difference being pretty common. Rain in the forecast for the upcoming holidays that we got, and this will continue to help those grazing pastures. Slaughter cows were steady. Slaughter bulls $2 to $3 higher. Packer demand was moderate to good. Demand very good for the replacement cows and pairs. And there you go. And then looks like, what do they say in this report? Looks like weekly summaries include all but the Apache auction. They're closed for the holidays this week, supplies and demand. So anyway, all the sale barns out here are also closed. Briefly, let's see what some 3 to 4 weights we're bringing. Top end I see here right now, 367.50. Top end on 4 to 5 weights, 340. And 5 to 6 weights, looks like 311. I see a 311 in there. I see a 318 in there and a 307. So anyway, that was pretty good. And then 6 weights, 270. There was some thin fleshed ones, brought 289. And then on the heifers, get down here to the girls, if I can find them. This report out of Oklahoma was big. Here we go. Heifers go. Here we go. 3 to 4 weight heifers up to 270. 4 to 5 weights up to 257.50. 6 weights up to 210. 8 weights up to 170. Some 7 weights in there bringing 197 and 205. Yeah, 210.50 was the most on the 6 weight. So there you go. And let's see here. Let me scroll on down here and see if they got some cows. Oh, here we go. Breaker cows. Quite a few of those sold, and it looks like they were anywhere from $97.66 to $109.96. Boner cows were anywhere from, quite a few of them, big old bunch, 173 head, $95.43, but it looks like anywhere from $85.19 to $99.28 was the high. On lean cows, looks like those were off a little bit, anywhere from $67.93 up to $94.75. Average was 86.22. On the bulls, quite a few of those sold. Average weight was anywhere from 1,200 to 1,870. And the biggest one was 2110. They was anywhere from 92.42 to 127 was the high. On the replacement cows, stock cows, looked like they had some weighing $12.31 a pound. Bred cows, 5 to 8 year olds were bringing up to 102. And then some bred cows, medium and large, number ones, 2 to 4 year olds were bringing up to 2,300. 5 to 8 year olds were bringing up to 2,400. And eight or olders were bringing 1,550. And then some bred cows, medium and large, 1 to 2s. 2 to 4 year olds were bringing up to high, looked like the average was around 1,500, but they did have some bring 2,175. And then some 5 to 8 year olds were bringing up to 1950. Average on them was 1401. And the older ones, 8 year olds and older, anywhere from $925 to $1400. And then some bred heifers were bringing up to 1490. And some other bred heifers, medium large number ones, number twos, or two twos was $1,200. Cow calf pairs, 2 to 4 year olds, up to 1775 with 150 to 300 pound calves on it. And then some medium and large number one cows with smaller than 150 pound calves on them, we're bringing 1250 to 1350. And some cow calf pairs, medium large number two to number ones, or number ones to number twos, 150 to 300 pound calves, 1575. And there you have it. That's all I got on them. All right. I got an update from Tyrone on they continue, says the USDA continues to update numbers from the 23 peanut crop. So here's Tyrone. We'll see what he's got to say. See if I can get this right today.
For USDA, check the old crop. It will average 3,740 pounds per acre. That was dropped from 3,905, mainly because of the heat and the drought. Earlier reports show that Georgia will average only 3,860 pounds. That's the first time in several years they've been below 4,000 pounds per acre. Peanut specialists report that grades were down 1 to 2% or 2 points, and that will be about 769,000 acres in Georgia, will cost peanut farmers about $7 million. Production now is forecast at 2,991 on tonnage, 7.9% more than last season. The disappearance indicates that the domestic food market will be up 3.7%. That's good news. They say exports will be up 4.5% on peanuts, but we'll still end up with about a million carry forward. I'm Tyron Spribman for Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, Mr. Tyron. And anyway, I call him Tyrone. Tyron Spearman, thanks for that update on the peanuts. Let's go ahead and take another Stockman's Vet Clinic break. When we come back, I have way more to talk about. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hi, I'm Gary Owens with Galleria Furniture. We believe everyone deserves a good night's sleep.
That's why we are offering a 30% savings on all mattresses over $1,000 with top brands like Serta and Spring Air, and up to 12 months to pay with your Galleria credit card. Why shop anywhere else?
And remember, we'll beat any competitor's price or eat yours for free.
Visit us at our Elk City location, just next to Tractor Supply on West 3rd Street.
With every second that goes by, we're spending the precious gift of time. What are we doing with it? After telling his disciples to focus on laying up treasures in heaven and not on earth, the greatest teacher who ever lived said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He's talking about priorities. What's most important to us, things physical or things eternal? How are we using our time? What are we teaching our children to do with their lives? Are money and accomplishments more important than one day hearing our Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." This Christmas season, enjoy time with family and friends. Gifts are great, but remember to show your love with your time and your actions. These are the gifts that mean the most. Brought to you by Canyon Oilfield Services, where the key word is service.
Willow, Hammond, Elk City. What do these three towns make you think about? Cows and cotton, oil and gas. But these three towns have produced some of the best medical care you'll find. Urology Associates Western Oklahoma isn't just a name. It lets you know that the three board-certified medical providers taking care of you are actually from here. Dr. Cole Wooten from Willow, certified urological nurse practitioners Tracy Lane from Hammond and Aaron Doherty from Elk City. They love it here. They love the people here. And they'll retire here. Medicine isn't just their job. It's personal. They do what they do because they love taking care of people. They love taking care of their neighbors and their friends. Urology Associates Western Oklahoma, 522 North Main in Elk City. On Facebook, search Urology Associates Western Oklahoma. These folks from Willow, Hammond, and Elk City will take great care of you.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City. With all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust, the new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update. I almost said it. Picked out this 45 degrees, feels like 38, dew points 32, humidity 60. Winds are out of the north, northwest at 16 miles an hour. Wind gusts 22 miles an hour. And 10-day rain total, 0.36 inches. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 46 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 1.0. Sunset at 5:33. Today, partly sunny, 48 degrees. North winds, 15 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, 29, partly cloudy. Light winds out of the north, northwest. Tomorrow, basically the same thing, except will be warmer. Mostly cloudy, 47 degrees, northwest to north, 6 to 12 miles an hour. So that is your weather update for Altus, Oklahoma, brought to you by the Hobart Farm and Garden. Okay, here's some, you guys like to hear my tips. Well, the machinery part of successful farming on their website is pretty cool. If you've never been into it, get in there and check it out. Anyway, how to keep batteries alive this winter. You guys ready? Idle batteries kept in tractors during the winter will probably see their death due to those cold months. Here's some tips on how to maintain batteries while they're not in use. Ask collectors about the number one headache involved in keeping tractors running, and they will likely snort. Dead batteries. Indeed, few batteries, even premium quality products, seem to last longer than a couple of years on old tractors. Don't blame the battery or its maker, although cheaper quality products do have a tendency to be short-lived. Battery failure is often caused by long periods of inactivity. Batteries idling in the cold weather are particularly vulnerable to failure. Often it's not the use but the disuse that kills the batteries. A battery is like a piggy bank. If you keep taking out and putting nothing back, you will soon have nothing. Keep them charged. The most important chore while storing tractors for the winter is to keep the batteries fully charged. Batteries kept at 75% or less of their charge capacity are vulnerable to buildup, and which occurs when the sulfuric acid molecules in the battery fluid attach themselves to the battery's lead plates. If the battery is immediately recharged, as well as happened when it when the engine is running, the sulfuric acid returns to the electric light fluid. How about that? Man, this brings back a memory I had over in Saudi Arabia when our batteries were shooting craps on us on those rocket launchers, those spills. There's this old boy up there in Roger Mills County. He knows how to make this stuff. It's pretty cool. He got in trouble for it too. In batteries not kept fully charged, the sulfuric acid tends to stick to the lead plates. After a short time, sometimes less than a month, these plates become so coated they can never be recharged. When storing batteries, avoid placing them on full charge for the entire winter. This will kill a battery faster than not using it. Instead, utilize a new generation smart charger that gently maintains condition. They can sense a battery's charge level and replace energy as needed. If you kept a battery fully charged all the time, the sulfation is not a problem. Testing batteries. A battery must be fully charged before the test, and the battery surface charge must be removed before testing. a battery setting several hours, 12 hours is preferred after recharging is ready to test. Otherwise, a battery must experience a load of 20 amps for 3 to 5 minutes to remove its surface charge. This can be done by turning the headlights on for several minutes. There you go. So your best bet for storing them is to remove the battery from the tractor and keep it charged in storage. By the way, storing batteries on concrete floors does not cause them to discharge any faster than if they are sitting on a wooden shelf. Well, see, that's a myth I didn't know about, because I always heard, don't put them on concrete floors. Oh, and here's the answer to my question. This myth was come up with in the early 1900s when battery cases were made out of porous material. Today's rubber that encases the batteries are sealed better, so external leakage discharge is no longer a problem. So go throw all those batteries off your shelves or off that cardboard you got in there, a board, throw them on the concrete. It doesn't matter anymore. Test electro levels in each cell. Replace fluid as needed because lead plates exposed to air will coat with sulfate, avoiding overfilling cells. And do not use tap water in batteries because it may contain minerals that can contaminate that deal. Uh-oh, I got a... I'll read that to you. I got a message from a John Deere mechanic that I have to share with you guys. Clean battery terminals and coat them with petroleum jelly. Some batteries in warm, dry location, do not store them in your home or any other location near open flames. So don't keep your battery warm next to your fire pit in your barn, okay? Avoid storage locations that are either extremely cold or hot. Batteries discharge as temperatures increase. A battery left sitting for 24 hours at 110 degrees would not be able to start an engine after just 30 days. On the other hand, a discharged battery stored in sub-zero temperatures can actually freeze. Maintain a battery's charge. Batteries, especially over time, lose their charge due to their natural chemical process. Hook batteries up to a combination battery charger maintainer or simple battery maintainer. Battery maintainers are not the same as a trickle charger, which continues to energize even after the battery is fully charged, which can result in overcharging. That's what I got on my golf cart, because I got all batteries on there. I'm going green on my golf cart. I just got one that's a maintainer on there. So there you go. Last but not least on this, get a smart charger. Purchase a charger regulated to maintain a battery at normal levels for long storage periods. Such smart chargers use a microprocessor that senses when a battery has reached its peak charge and then switches to a float mode. This feature maintains voltage at a level sufficient to keep a battery from discharging, but it also prevents it from being overcharged. So, heck, I didn't even see that deal in there about the concrete. Anyway, what do I got? From down south, down there around Hobart, guy that believes in John Deere equipment, good information on batteries. Gosh, I buy a load of batteries every year. So even a mechanic didn't know that. What do you, go figure. Anyway, let's see here. What else we got going on? Best buys. Best year in buys in horsepower. In all the years of, this is from David Mowetz. He says, in all my years of covering the used equipment market, I have never seen the like. Sullivan Auctioneers held 4 online auctions from Hudson Incorporated, a deer dealership network in Kentucky, Tennessee, Indiana, and Michigan. In the middle of harvest, traditionally harvest and spring plantings are dead zones for auctions. During these times, farmers stay at home and focus on field chores while auctioneers begin to prepare for huge summer and end-of-the-year auction periods. But starting October 10th and repeating the following 3 Tuesdays this month, Sullivan sold a long line of iron for Hudson. The high final bids registered during these sales testified to the trend that farmers are now buying equipment online any time of the year, whether they're in their offices or in the cab of their combine, tractor, or pickup. And I promise you, I don't carry an iPad in my tractor because I don't have auto steer, and I'm not looking at it. I can't do it on my tractor. I'm sorry. I ain't looking for one anyway. Karen Jones in Steel Deals, it's page 28 of November issue of Successful Farming in their magazine they sent out, looked at this online phenomenon and the factor that farmers are also buying used iron further away from home. Lake Sullivan of Sullivan Auctioneer also points out that the breaking the Hudson line of equipment into four separate online auctions kept the length of each auction shorter. As for holding the auctions in October, he adds, well, there are fewer auctions that month, so that presented our client with a larger audience, he said. The other trend revealed by this series of online auctions was the rising availability of large horsepower row crop tractors. Model years 2020 and 2021 tractors were in severe shortage due to the supply challenges manufacturers were facing then. But the Hudson auctions offered a healthy supply of 2022 John Deere 8R tractor series tractor models. Noticing this offers, I checked John Deere's dealer listing site, machinefinder.com, and was surprised to find that at press time, there were almost 1,000-year-old model 8Rs sitting on dealer lots. I expect the number of this age and series of tractor models available will increase towards next month, January, thanks to the surge of the end-of-year trade-ins they incurred. All these people got all this money. They need tax write-offs. The star of the 8R line at the machinefinder.com was clearly the model 8R370. At press time, more than 330 model 8R370s were available, nearly double that of the next most popular model, the 8R410. Following this trend, this month's price guide is dedicated to 8R370s. That guide lists both the highest and lowest asking price. He said there's a $100,000 difference between the low and the high on the 8R370s. The growing abundance of tractors like the 8R370 is evidence that the severe lull in availability of high horsepower tractors has come to an end. The new market report shows a mix of expected and unexpected trends, especially in farm equipment categories. Observe Ryan from thetractorhouse.com. With inventories piling up at dealerships, we expect to see a wider gap between asking prices and auction values. It's unusual, though, to see combine and high horsepower tractors inventories continue to grow this time of the year when those numbers are typically starting to come down. There you go. And let's see here. What do we got? Yeah, it says, last but not least here, the other interesting trend reflected in the price guide is the similarity in specifications between the highest and the lowest priced tractors of the same model. While gathering the specs for the price guide, I expected the lowest priced tractor to be less feature rich than those listings at the top. While the lowest priced model 8R370 had fewer cab enhancements and lighting packages, overall the tractors at the top and the bottom of the price range were similarly equipped with continuous variable transmissions and independent link front axle suspension. Often the determining factor for the differences between the dealer asking prices for hours. However, there was a significant spread in the price between the two ranges, from $100,000 difference between the highest and the lowest 8R370 listed. How about that? Anyway, what else we got here? Hay exports. Last but not least for the show today, hay exports will hinge on the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar is having a huge impact on hay exports, said Scott Courtright at the Western Alfalfa and Forage Symposium earlier this month in Sparks, Nevada. He argued the environment of the U.S. exchange rate is the biggest driver in low hay exports this year, along with weaker domestic import values and variable demands from individual markets. Courtright is the owner of Courtright Enterprises, an export company based in the Columbian Basin, where he oversees logistic operations and international sales. During his presentation on hay export dynamics, he noted the spike in the U.S. exchange rate that began in March of 2022 and has the greatest impact on hay exports to China and Japan, the two largest markets for U.S. hay. The U.S. was exporting around 4.5 million metric tons of hay about 18 months ago, and we're down to 3 million now. The market is missing 1 to 1.5 million tons of demand, which is pretty big. I don't know if you guys ever been to one of those hay farms where they dehydrate everything and package it up to send to Japan or Saudi Arabia or anything. But if you ever get a chance, it's pretty cool. I went to one in Kansas. Pretty cool deal to watch. You guys have a great day. See you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.